praying with the titles of God. God is our shepherd. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3:17. Psalm 23 is one of David's most heartfelt and beautiful works, a poem often set to music. It is a lovely prayer supplication that has become a healing balm, a comfort to God's people. David used the principles of 8 titles of God to summarize how God helped him through great difficulties, 8 benefits and remedies that David received by faith. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Roi, the Lord who sees, Psalm 23:1. I shall not want, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, Genesis 22:14. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Judges 6:24. He restoreth my soul. Jehovah Rophekah, the Lord who heals you. Exodus 15:26. He leadeth in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6 and chapter 33:16. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Ezekiel 48:35 in the King James Version margin. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Exodus 17:15. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jehovah Mekadeshkem, the Lord sanctifies you. Exodus 31:13, Leviticus 20:8, and chapter 21:8, chapter 22:32, and Ezekiel 20:12. The Companion Bible, Appendix 4, adds 2 more titles, Jehovah Tzva'oth and Jehovah Elyon. In a sense, David teaches us shorthand for claiming God's promises by using these specific titles. Simply by saying each title, a comforting promise comes to mind. David delivers what we may consider a breath prayer for use in our own troubles. 8 precious promises we may confidently claim by using these specific titles of God. Jehovah Roi, the Lord who sees. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Rophekah, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. And Jehovah Mekadeshkem, the Lord sanctifies you. David was far from perfect, but God loved him and called him a man after his own heart. 1 Samuel 13:14. God promised David that one of his descendants would always be on the throne of Israel. 2 Samuel 7:16. That descendant proved to be Jesus. While Psalm 22-24 would have been on Jesus' mind throughout his ministry, there are 3 experiences at the beginning of his ministry that seemed coincident with these psalms. Before Jesus' baptism, John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Psalm 22 personifies Jesus' sacrifice as the antitypical lamb that was slain in the temple each morning and evening. After Jesus' baptism, God called out to Jesus and his brethren, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3:17. David's name means beloved. Therefore, with this statement, God affirmed his acceptance of Jesus' consecration and linked his ministry to perpetuating David's kingly throne. Just as Psalm 23 was David's solace in distress, Jesus would find parallels of comfort during his walk with his Lord and look forward to the promise of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23:6. Being tempted in the wilderness, Psalm chapter 24 is about the return of the Lord as the good shepherd who would once again take dominion over all the earth. Jesus would see his three temptations in the wilderness as an opportunity to demonstrate his loyalty to the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart, who resisted the vanity of temporal gain and received the righteousness from the God of his salvation. Psalms chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. Like David, Jesus experienced times of great distress, especially during his crucifixion. Jesus likely remembered Psalm 22 while on the cross. After all, he quoted its first and last verse. In his review of Psalm 22 while on the cross, Jesus would have noticed several prophetic descriptions of his crucifixion experience happening right before his eyes in real time. Surely, this would have given him great comfort in knowing that his heavenly Father arranged his experiences of his final days and hours, confirmation that his sacrifice was indeed accepted. We propose that, while Jesus hung on the cross, he not only considered the details of his crucifixion as prophesied in Psalm chapter 22, but he also considered Psalm 23, the promise of God's protection, as well as Psalm 24, the promise of kingdom glory. In the beautiful progression of thought outlined in these three chapters, David's breath prayers, the principles of God's protection detailed by these eight titles of God, would provide great comfort to Jesus in his distress. The implications are magnificent for the gospel age church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus provides the terms of our own sacrifice. He asks us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Following in Jesus' footsteps means that in our distressful experiences, we too may apply the beautiful progression of thought that David established in Psalms chapter 22 through 24. Let us compare the distress of Psalm chapter 22 with the titles of God which David embedded in Psalm 23. In this transition of two chapters, we see how God assured Jesus with quiet confidence that his sacrifice was acceptable. Psalm 24 surely encouraged Jesus of the promised glory that would follow his resurrection. If we are correct in these associations, Jesus' last words, "It is finished," would have been much more than a mere hope of success. It would have been his final breath prayer of thanksgiving. For by recounting all the prophecies of Psalm 22 that God fulfilled on Jesus' last day, Jesus' words would represent his confidence in God's power to finish the perfection of his new creature and thus his ransom sacrifice. The following is a list of how each of the eight titles of God in Psalm 23 may have provided specific comfort to Jesus' crucifixion experiences detailed in Psalm 22. Jehovah Roi, Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord who sees, Jehovah. Psalms 22 verses 14 through 15, David describes the posture of Jesus' body during the crucifixion in shocking prophetic detail. Jesus would see the fulfillment of David's prophecies in his own experience. Knowing that God was watching over him carefully as his shepherd would have encouraged Jesus to refuse the vinegar and gall, which would have somewhat anesthetized him from the pain of crucifixion and would have indeed clouded his mind. Even in his final hours, Jesus was intent on fulfilling all prophecy. Though he may have felt far from God's protection, he would keep his mind clear even while his body was failing. Jehovah Jireh, Psalms 23 verse 1, the Lord will provide. Psalm 22 verse 16, Gentile Roman soldiers were in control and acting out the will of their Roman leaders. Like gangs of wild dogs, without regard for innocent human life, they pierced Jesus' hands and feet, a clear description of the death Jesus would have anticipated and now experienced. Jesus could use Jehovah Jireh to claim the promise of God's overruling at this moment on the cross. He would recall that Abraham was the first to use this name of God when speaking with Isaac about the sacrifice. He would feel the total weight and opportunity in knowing that Jehovah Jireh provided him as the antitypical ram among a crown of thorns. Jehovah Shalom, Psalms 23 verse 2, the Lord is peace. Psalms 22 verses 11 through 13. describes Jesus' mental distress from the attacks of hypocritical religious leaders. David frames these leaders as ravening and roaring lions. As in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 9, ravening describes any animal that kills for sport, and a lion that kills for food. David used Jehovah Shalom to describe God's peace for his sheep in green pastures beside still waters. On the cross, and while using the breath prayer, Jehovah Shalom, Jesus would have the opportunity to review the spiritual food and drink he also received from his Father throughout his ministry, and then claim this promise of God's peace. Jehovah Rophika, Psalms 23, verse 3, the Lord who heals. Psalm 22, verse 1, why hast thou forsaken me? In Psalms 22, verses 4 and 5, Jesus remembers how God delivered the fathers of Israel in their physical, mental, and emotional difficulties. As with them, Jesus' anguish on the cross would also not affect God's power to deliver him from the experience of crucifixion. Jehovah Rophika would act as a breath prayer Jesus could use to claim the same promise of God's deliverance. Psalms 22, verse 24, implies that Jesus knew God had not abandoned him and would hear Jesus' cry. But perhaps Jesus felt the total weight of God's rejection in the emotional experience of the crucifixion. In our distress, like Jesus, we should remember to frame our emotional experiences with the Word of God and look to Him for our healing. Jehovah Tzidkenu, Psalm 23, verse 3, the Lord, our righteousness. Psalm 22, verse 22, Jesus fulfilled this prophecy during His ministry, as He noted at the end of His prayer nearing Gethsemane. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. John chapter 17, verse 26. Indeed, Jesus declared God's name to His Jewish brethren as a righteous God, and by His sacrificial death, Jesus demonstrated God's righteous plan for atonement and their deliverance through the antitypical blood of the Lamb. Psalm 22, verse 24, quoted by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Jesus praised God's righteousness before all the world and the angels in heaven. Jesus would have received solace in this part of David's prophecy while on the cross, knowing he had done all he could. Jehovah Shammah, Psalms chapter 23, verse 4, the Lord is there. Psalms 22, verse 17, Jesus' bones were visible to all observers in the excruciating posture of his crucifixion. While Jesus would be an outcast in the eyes of man, he may have also recognized this phrase as an idiom to describe how his enemies considered him weak and helpless, like how Goliath looked upon David, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 42. Like David, using Jehovah Shammah to claim the promise of God's presence in this darkest valley of the shadow of death, Jesus would have found protection from the fear of evil and the assurance of God's care during his crucifixion. Jehovah Nissi, Psalms chapter 23, verse 5, the Lord my banner. Psalms chapter 22, verses 6 through 8, David used Jehovah Nissi to describe how a shepherd protects his sheep from pests by anointing the sheep's head with oil. Oil protects the sheep's eyes, ears, and nose from flies. The eyes, ears, and nose are metaphors for the spiritual sense of knowledge, understanding, and discernment. The oil of the Holy Spirit protects our spiritual senses from pests in our present evil world. Those in political power reproached Jesus during his ministry. They believed that his sacrifice unto death was worthless. He was considered a worm in their eyes. But he knew the crimson-colored blood of the worm identified in this prophecy would provide a ransom for those who laughed at him, mocked him, and challenged him to deliver himself. Jesus' ministry to do the will of his Father was rooted in his knowledge, understanding, and discernment of God's will. These also gave Jesus spiritual insights into the evil of his enemy, the adversary, who sought to thwart his relationship with Jehovah Nissi, Jesus' banner. Jesus' anointing with the Holy Spirit would have protected his spiritual eyes, perception, ears, understanding, and nose, discernment, from from pests. While on the cross, Jesus' specific experiences with his enemies confirmed these prophetic words of David, Mark chapter 12, verse 39, and Matthew chapter 27, verse 43, which surely brought him great comfort. Like David, Jesus most likely also reached out to God in his breath prayer, Jehovah Nissi, and thus claimed God's protection against his enemies' attacks. Jehovah Makadishkem, Psalm 23, verse 6, the Lord sanctifies you. Psalms chapter 22, verses 30 and 31. Considering these words of David would greatly encourage Jesus. The seed of future generations, which David describes, is the precious bride of Christ, his church, developed during the Gospel Age. This seed would be developed during the Gospel Age by the Holy Spirit, which perfected Jesus' new creature, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. By following Jesus' footsteps, these would also submit to God's sanctifying power and declare God's righteousness to future generations. Jesus' last words, "It is finished," may have come from David's last words in Psalm 22, "He hath done this." Just as God set aside his only begotten Son for the work of the ransom, God will also sanctify us for the gospel ministry. The hope and specter of the work that Jesus would have seen before him would have been exhilarating, even during the distress of the cross experience. Jesus would be assured that his sacrifice was complete. Psalm 24. In Psalm 24, David prophesies about the glorious aspects of God's kingdom with phrases like, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof," chapter 24, verse 1. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord?" Chapter 24, verse 3. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Chapter 24, verse 7. "Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory." Selah. Chapter 24, verse 10. The glorious prospect of rejoining his heavenly Father to establish God's kingdom in heaven and on earth would have sustained Jesus through the trauma of the cross. This realization would be the spiritual food that only the God of all comfort could provide. Psalm 24 would have been the bookend conclusion to his much earlier discussion with Jehovah in his pre-human existence as the Logos, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Lessons. We may also use God's titles, as David suggested in Psalms 23. We will find them to be light to our very being. As for David and Jesus, calling out to God with these titles will provide the warmth of fellowship with our Heavenly Father, the same warmth that Jesus enjoyed during his ministry and which he likely recalled while on the cross. In our distress or trauma, we may not be able to find the words to express ourselves to God. However, we can use these eight titles of God as breath prayers to claim his promises for our comfort and peace. David's use of these titles was born out of great mental and emotional pain. His doubts and fears helped him focus on the promise of God's oversight, provision of peace, healing and righteousness, presence, protection, and sanctifying power. These promises provide us with comfort, safety, hope, reassurance, purpose, and strength in God's power to sanctify. Reviewing Psalm 22 while on the cross would have revealed to Jesus the details of his crucifixion and provided much-needed affirmation. Then, Psalm 23 would have reminded Jesus of the warmth of God's fellowship that he enjoyed as the Logos. Finally, Psalm 24 would have reminded Jesus of the joy set before him. This joy would have undoubtedly helped him endure the cross, despise the shame, and give him a glimpse of his future work when he would once again enjoy being exalted to the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. But this time, with the divine nature. Psalms 22 through 24 became Jesus' secret story, transcending the pain he experienced from the world and preparing him for his heavenly inheritance. Jesus' secret story gave him the spiritual perception, understanding, and discernment to see that God permitted all the good and bad things that would happen to him for his benefit and the success of his willing sacrifice. Let it be our secret story as well, and inspire us with hope for our heavenly home.